All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, it is NFL Draft Day on The Usual Suspects. We are here to entertain you and hopefully add some levity to your stressful Texans draft day as we get ready for the first round this evening from Nashville, Tennessee. But we are located at the Gal Media Studios in Houston, Texas. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel. Fellas, are we ready?
Oh, man, I am so ready to not care all that much.
We are going to break down pick by pick in the next 3 hours. Each one of our mock drafts.
I'll be in the car.
That actually will not happen.
I'll be in the car, fellas. I'm with Charlie. Was it yesterday where on his show he goes, look, we could talk a little draft, but it's just been talked about ad nauseum. There's no sense in me. It becomes repetitive, and I'm with him on that. There are great shows on this station and great draft guys that do a great job. And I mean, obviously we have to cover it, but there are some shows on sports talk radio in this city that will do a 3 hour show on nothing but Texans draft. If we did three segments, I would hang myself.
There are some shows on other stations in this city that opened up and talked for the first hour about football with the Rockets game happening last night.
I would hang myself, just so you guys know. If we had to do 3 hours of speculating, that's probably all going to be wrong.
That's the biggest thing.
Look, let's be real. This is something that could be covered in several sentences. The Texans' needs are, here's who they should get. We'll see what happens. Next topic. Because there's really not, I mean, that's the important stuff. Now, granted, there's the Steeler fan Wands of the world and the Clarences of the world that care about their Saints or their Steelers or whatever, and that's fine. But this isn't Pittsburgh and this isn't New Orleans. This is Houston. So you talk about the needs, you talk about the potential targets, and you move on. And hell, half of that's available on Sports Map with Lance articles and everything else. So. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer.
No. And here's the thing. That's why I think we're great, because the fact we are going to be here to allow you to escape draft heavy ad nauseum coverage from other stations today, because of the fact that, just like you said, look, we don't do mock drafts because, you know what, we aren't experts. I thought AJ broke it down extremely well last night on the way home too, where he said, look, you know, you go to Lance because he's an expert and because he has people. His dad was an offensive line coach for years and years and years. He knows people in the business. He works for NFL Network, so he can give you the perceived tendencies, like you said, each team and who they're leaning towards, but we don't know. And so for everybody else that's out there doing mock drafts, I think it's just something like a hobby that could take up some of their time because they're footballaholics and they want to stay close to the sport.
Right.
But overall, no one knows what's going to happen.
So was this a top? I didn't listen yesterday on the way home.
It's been a 2-day topic where AJ's like, first of all was ripping.
So he's like us. He's like, I'm not going to sit here and just ad nauseum cover the draft.
Yeah, and he was.
Oh, that's good.
But he was also alone. He was ripping Holly because Holly was like watching tape and talking about her mock draft. And he's like, really? What website's that going to be on? And he was attacking.
Why was he ripping Holly?
He went all over Holly, our friend of the show. And then he even kind of went at Josh from Sports Map, Josh Jordan, who did his second mock last night.
So he's mocking the mockers.
Yeah. He's like, there's no reason to do the mockery. Unless you are an expert. And even still, like you said, you're only going to get about seven picks right in the first round.
If that.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the one thing that I would really like to see. If people would go over and kind of, especially for a guy like you that's into the numbers from time to time, I'd like to go back from year to year and see how many in the first round Mel Kiper Jr. and Todd McShay and even Lance got right.
Ooh, that's not, you don't want to do that because.
Because there's two ways of looking at it. No, I'm not. It's not a shot at all. This is to prove that it's an inexact science and everybody can. It's like fantasy football. Everybody can have fun and give their mock draft, but at the end of the day, to match up the team and the pick and to get it right, good luck.
You ready?
Yep.
So I have the 2018 mock draft accuracy.
Oh, nice. I like
You're welcome.
Yes.
We didn't plan this, I promise you. But this can be found on fantasypros.com.
Okay.
I'll read you the little blurb here. It says, who has the most accurate NFL mock draft? Our accuracy scores rate the first round predictions of draft analysts across four scoring categories. Analysts earn points based on their ability to correctly predict. One, draft slots for each player. Mm-hmm. Two, rank within a position player will be drafted. Mm-hmm. Three, position, e.g. quarterback. Each team will select, and four, teams that will pick each player. So that's the four scoring methods. Mm-hmm. And then your totals, a possible, if you were perfect, if you nailed the first round in all four of those categories, you could get 320 possible points.
Okay.
The highest point total was Scott Smith of RotoViz.
Last year?
With 189 points. Nick, get Scott Smith from RotoViz on the phone. He's going to break down our mock draft.
We got to have him for at least
two segments.
We want the expert.
I want Scott Smith. I almost called him Scott Viz from Roto Smith. Not the same.
We're going to call him the Viz.
Give me Scott Smith right now, Nicholas.
The Viz. Get the Viz on line one.
Number two, from a resource I use often, Walter Football, Walter Cherepinski came in second with 182.
Walt's working on a stage name.
Mike Mayock was seventh.
Okay.
In his mock last year with 168. I'm just looking for names
Big
that
name.
You might recognize.
Yeah.
Todd McShay checked in at 12 with 166 points. Our guy Lance Zierlein checked in at 13 with 164. So Lance, a top 15 mocker.
Where was Mel Kiper getting all that money from all those agents?
Yeah, just keep talking so I can kill time so I can scroll.
Well, because we...
He's
covered
close.
The fact... That there's rumors out there that in the past, Kiper Jr. would take money from agents so that he would pump up certain players at certain positions, which is just dirty.
So they did 137. They ranked 137. By the way, if you're wondering who was the worst, J.P. Scott from Athlon Sports. Get him for the blitz. Right now. Get him J.P. Scott from Athlon Sports. He got a 92.
Ouch.
That is just awful.
Like,
a 92?
Don't you think you could just sit back with a few beers and go, you know what? I'm going to just take a shot at this and get a 92?
I feel like you and I could probably get a 92.
Like, it's like signing your name on the NFL equivalent test.
Yeah.
It's like, you figure, okay, number one, Kyler Murray, quarterback, Arizona. I feel good about that. Feel like I'm gonna nail that one.
That's
like
one.
signing your name.
That's
you get 10 points.
Four
for that.
Points.
Okay.
Yeah. So your guy Mel Kiper. So there's 137. So let's round up and say 140.
Sure.
If I were to start narrowing it down for you, do you think he was in the top 70 or the bottom 70?
Bottom.
No, he's in the top 70.
Damn it.
So of the top 70, is he in the top 35 or the bottom 35?
Top.
He is in the top 35. He was 23rd.
Okay.
Mel Kiper, 23rd in his expert predictions. Charlie Casterly, 28. I'm just looking for other names here. So there's the top five. I'll give you their names and who they were with because you're probably
none
like
of them.
Scott Smith of RotoViz, Walter Cherepinski of Walter Football, Evan Silva of Roto World.
I've heard of him.
Ken Zales of PressBox. And Kevin Hansen of EDS Football. Any of those names ring a bell for you, Nick? Joel recognized one.
One.
Yeah, I don't recognize any of those names.
And Nick's the guy that always has to be in contact with these guys. So that's why I'm saying, to prove
draft guru.
Everybody's point on this station, don't spend too much time on the inexact science of essentially throwing darts at a dartboard to figure out who's going where, because it all could change, and it probably will. Depending on trends and how the first couple picks go, like we've heard all of this about quarterbacks, but if one quarterback goes, it could start a floodgate of trades to try and move up. It's interesting you said Mayock, because now Mayock is the general manager of the Raiders, and they said that Gruden, along with Mayock, sent all of their scouts home before the weekend last weekend because they don't feel they can trust them, and so they're basically going to wing it on their own without those guys. Said they weren't going to bring them back.
Yeah.
And even better than that, old Dan Snyder and all his money decided, because there was like yesterday they said there was all kinds of rumors coming out of Washington Redskins Park. They said that Snyder has taken over who the team will draft in the first round. There's something that Redskins fans have to feel real good about.
Oh, no. You definitely don't want owners taking and making draft picks. Ask the Cowboys.
True. Since he's also the GM.
Ugh. No,
so,
thanks.
Look, I enjoy checking to see where everybody went. I, of course, obviously enjoy seeing what the Texans did and my Packers. But overall, yeah, I've never in a million years thought, you know, I should do a mock draft.
There's like a NFL Pros has a draft simulator, a draft assistant, cheat sheet creator, a draft analyzer. That's a lot of stuff. That's just way too much. Yeah, I don't.
I get your passion for baseball and writing an article like a preview how the season's going to go, but to spend all of that energy on a draft, that's just for the first round. Now let's get going tomorrow night with second and third, and then over the weekend when they get all the way through the seventh.
Do you sit down and watch the first round?
I'll check back in. I will not watch the whole thing, and I could care less about the analysis in between.
Yeah.
I'll check and see where guys are going, but I'm definitely not watching it start
to finish. It's a series of inexact sciences that compile draft week. If you think about it, there's the inexact science of mocks. I mean, even player grading and personnel is an inexact science. You can look at things, but then when a guy can get better, a guy can do things differently. Maybe he's, you know, so you've got the combine, and it's all at some point kind of a series of guesses. You go from the combine to grading to the draft predictions, and then, like you said, the in-between where, well, this guy's going to do this. Well, you don't know yet. There are plenty of draft busts. Cody Stutes he and I were arguing over text, not arguing, but like in a friendly way, about his draft bust list for the Texans, and then he did the best draft picks for the Texans, which are both really good articles on Sports Map that you should check out. But it's all really inexact until you've seen a guy play for 4 or 5 years.
And even when you have, show me one draft expert back in the day that picked Tom Brady in the first to be a first or second round pick, or that could make some comment that says this guy's going to be a really good NFL quarterback.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
For all the work that they do, all these organizations that spend all this time, I've got an article that we can talk about a little later where one organization sat a guy down in the 2013 draft and in the middle of the interview dropped a Sears catalog size stack of papers on the desk. The guy thought it was going to be like plays he was going to be asked to like analyze for his position. No, it was every single social media post he had made. Ooh. And they were like, you need to stop this because this is the reason why we won't draft you.
Ooh.
And just gave him a lecture.
That's not good.
Yeah, and that team obviously didn't take him. But they said that since then, the guy has been a Walter Kennedy Man of the Year Award finalist, that he has been one of the top paid and best at his position, and they were trying to pinpoint who it was, but they were like, without saying, bottom line is that shows you that no matter what teams are worried about or what they think, it's not as big a guessing game as maybe the NBA in terms of drafting on potential.
Right.
But it's up there.
Yeah, it really is. That's interesting.
So, I mean, we'll see how it goes tonight, but Texans on the clock at 23. And I think we all are in agreement. They need offensive line help, and they need secondary help. There, that's our draft analysis for the Texans. You're welcome. We're just getting started. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. It's a fantastic day to be a suspect, to join in on everything that we've got going until 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock. We're going to have some guests along the way, some giveaways, some other things, as we try and keep it alive and entertaining for you throughout this entire program. So again, you can hit us up on Twitter. It's at Barry is Funny. It's at Pac-Man Joel with a K. It's at The Producer Nick. It is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
All right, so we lied. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on draft day. So with all that being said, we got number 7 on line 1. 7th best mock draft guy in the world last year is our very own Lance Zierlein. And we decided, you guys at other stations who want to spend an hour talking about the draft instead of the Rockets game last night, you go ahead and have your fun. We're going to have some reality and some levity with our man Lance Zierlein coming to us from Nashville. Lance, always appreciate the time, especially now. I know you're extremely busy. But did you know you were number 7 last year?
What do you mean, number 7 last year?
Barry did some digging, And he found a list of all the people that did mocks last year. They were based on four categories of grading. The top, I think there was 137. You were seventh.
Oh, you mean the Huddle Report?
No. Actually, it wasn't seventh. Mayock was seventh.
Oh, damn it.
Lance was, you were 13th.
You were 13th.
This is according to fantasypros.com, where they base their rankings on four categories. Draft slot for each player, rank within a position that the player was drafted, position each team will select, and teams that will pick each player. You hit 13th out of 137, bud. That's pretty damn good.
Yeah, actually, they might be pulling that from the Huddle Report. If you go to thehuddlereport.com, so all the industry people have I don't know how these guys got everyone to submit it, but we submit our top 100 and then our final mock draft.
Yeah.
And so you can go see how everybody – it's the same thing you're looking at, Barry, but you can see – top 100, top mock drafts, and a five-year aggregate of how guys...
I like it.
Oh, nice.
So,
I do pretty good.
Essentially, what that says is that Mayock was 7th, you were 13th. You're halfway to being a GM in the NFL. By next year, I fully expect you to take the reins of an NFL club's personnel department.
I mean, if Dell keeps treating me as badly as he does, I'm leaving.
Dell's a jerk. Who's a bigger jerk, Dell or Nick? Because I'll put Nick up against anybody in the a-hole department.
No, I mean, I haven't done the show long enough with... Nick, there's not enough sample size. Let me put it that way.
Okay.
But Dell, you even got him tennis shoes. Limited edition Game of Thrones tennis shoes, and he still craps on you.
Yeah, I tried to buy his love, and it didn't work. just like a stepfather does to a kid. Jeff can't buy the kids. You're not my real dad, Jeff.
you're not my real host, Lance.
Yeah.
That's Granada.
God, I'll get Salisbury back enough, Dell.
Man, now the shots are fired. Hey, by the way, call brought to you by Twin Peaks. We appreciate Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. Lance, so we were just talking about the fact it's an imperfect science. We all know that everybody's doing mocks and everybody's trying to guess what's happening, but really nobody knows. As you are right there with your finger on the pulse of everything going on with leading up to the first round tonight, anything that you've heard that changes the narrative of what we've already heard? Kyler Murray going one. Texans obviously looking at secondary and offensive line.
Well, there's been increased buzz about Kyler Murray not going one. But it's really hard to make out what's real and what's not real right now with Arizona. I don't know if it's – I mean, I think it's partial smokescreen and partially they just are – it's paralysis by analysis. I don't know what's going on there with Arizona. So I still think he's going one, but it's a little more up in the air. And obviously, if Kyler Murray didn't go one, he could be in for a big slide. Maybe four, and if not four, then I think he'd fall until somebody either traded up for him or maybe the Bengals looked at him 11. So if Kyler Murray doesn't go one, that's the big story of the draft is where does he slide to? And if he doesn't go one, then, you know, there's a chance that the, you know, some of the teams who might want quarterback like the Raiders, like the Giants, they may say, shoot, there's about to be a monster run on defense. Let's sit tight and see what happens if we really want a quarterback. And both those teams have another pick in the set in the first round, so they could move up in the draft if they choose to and still get a quarterback they want earlier than where they pick. So I think those are the ones. And then, you know, I think those are the two. I mean, Dwayne Haskins, the Washington Redskins, who supposedly Dan Snyder really wants a quarterback and is willing to trade up, and he's taken over the draft room. That's a rumor. You know, I think Washington is the wild card, and then what Arizona does with Kyler Murray, it's still up in the air. Does Ed Oliver go five? Does he go four? Does he go nine? There are some factors. Number seven, Jacksonville. If they take TJ Hawkinson, then that's good for the Texans because then a tackle probably doesn't go off the board until nine at Buffalo. Any little bit that you can get. You know, what the Texans hope is that there's a run on quarterbacks, and then a run on defensive players,
mm-hmm.
and every little bit you can push an offensive lineman back is a good thing for the Texans. I don't believe that they'll try to trade up. They have too many holes to fill. The only way I could see them trading up is if they, A, traded Jadeveon Clowney and picked up a first-rounder for him. Then that would, in a way, be trading up, and they would have to target somewhere where they could get their hands on Andre Dillard, the left tackle out of Washington State, or even Juwan Taylor from Florida. So the only way I see the Texans trading up is if he got all the way to 19 or 20, and the Texans said, this is just too close. We're willing to give up a future third rounder to get this guy. I don't think that they'll give up any of their picks this year to trade up. Well, I don't see that happening.
That was going to be my question to you, because I guess where is that coming from? Is that coming from the rumors that are out there that they're saying that Clowney might be? I think you even wrote about the fact that Clowney might actually be on the trading block as we read this. That's according to your Sports Map article today.
I wrote one.
Yeah, I don't want to make a big deal about it, but I did hear last night from a team who said, the Texans are willing to listen for Clowney, Clowney offers. I said, you sure? And they go, oh, absolutely.
A GM told you that?
A team told me that.
Oh, a team, okay.
Well, after what happened with Ford, with the Seahawks and the Chiefs, doesn't that give you the indication? I mean, I did a video on it, too.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. Well, as soon as Frank Clark got traded, and I saw what they got for Frank Clark, and I don't think Jadeveon Clowney could fetch that, it immediately made me think that the Houston Texans would be willing to listen to deals for Jadeveon Clowney. I have no doubt, and this guy seemed to believe that there was some, it was an active shopping situation. But that's not unusual. I don't want people to blow that out of the water, because that's something a lot of teams will do in a lot of leagues. You know, I know Daryl Morey is a guy who will always be listening, always be calling, and you know, you throw some crazy stuff out there. You see if anyone says, yeah, I'll bite on that. And all of a sudden, you got a deal that you might not be able to pass up on. So I don't think it's crazy that the Texans would be listening to offers or even offering up Jadeveon Clowney if someone's willing to give up what the Chiefs gave up. I mean, I'd say see you later, Clowney. If I got your first and I got a future second, goodbye. We can draft a defensive end. We won't have to pay your amount of money, and we'll have more picks to try to rebuild quickly.
Real quick, we'll let you go. Last one, but the wild card then becomes with Arizona. If they do go Murray, a wild card to me is where does Rosen go? And if he doesn't go one and say Gruden bites on him, doesn't that mean that Carr instantaneously has to go and is available?
So the rumor is that Gruden likes Kyler Murray and Mayock likes Haskins. So if that's the case, and Murray goes one, then the Raiders could be putting this Haskins stuff out there because they want to find a trade partner and they want to be able to trade back, and maybe the trade partner they want is number six, Giants, because then they can move back to six and still get a really good defensive player. That is what it feels like to me, is they're just trying to bait the Giants into moving up because the Giants have additional draft picks this year and could afford to move up like that. That's what it feels like. If he goes, you know, if Haskins were to go four, Murray or Haskins, either one of them, if one of them went four, then I would think Derek Carr, I just don't think Derek Carr would be readily available, because neither Murray or Haskins, I think, is really ready to take over an NFL team. Murray would have no choice. I just think Haskins needs some more seasoning, and I think he'd have to keep Derek Carr there, but it would be a very uncomfortable situation. But it wouldn't be the first time. I mean, Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre was an uncomfortable situation. Oh, well, you ended up with Aaron Rodgers. So if you get a guy that you really like.
Yeah, you know, Montana and Steve Young. I mean, it's happened in the past, but you're not just going to give good talent away.
You can't just do that. And Josh Rosen, I'm with you. Josh Rosen's going to complain like crazy. I've heard he's not happy at all behind the scenes. I would imagine that. But now, if you draft Kyler and you're not able to move Josh Rosen because you can't find a suitor, and they're not even looking at I've heard from people and sources that they're not even trying to make trades. Like, they're not even calling anybody. So that's what makes you wonder if Murray is really locked in at one. And then number two, if they just realize we're just not going to get what we want, we're going to keep Rosen until next year and try to leverage him for a better draft pick next year.
Gotcha. Well, you know, we know you're busy. We really appreciate it, brother. So make sure you get caffeinated, and I know it's going to be a long night, but have some fun there while you're in Nashville.
Yeah, and so my draft primer for the Texans is on SportsMap, so you can see the names and some of the players that I linked to the Texans at 23. And then later tomorrow, I'll have a round two, round three primer for guys you should be looking at the Texans' three picks that they have total in rounds two and rounds three. I'll give you, and obviously this will have cornerbacks, it'll have running backs, wide receivers, it'll have offensive linemen. It'll have a lot more players. In this one, I just have tackles and cornerbacks are the only positions I put in there in the draft primer at sportsmap.com.
And the last of our four videos broke about 10 minutes before 1 o'clock. So we've got four videos as well with all of your analysis on everything we did there, too. So, yeah, lots of Lance Zierlein on SportsMap. Check all that out. Your mock draft's up as well on what, NFL.com?
Yeah, NFL.com.
There you go. Thanks, Lance. Appreciate it, buddy. We'll see when you get back.
All right, we'll see you guys.
There you go. Lance Zierlein, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Hey, I'm telling you right now, if you're looking for a great place to watch the draft tonight and, of course, all through the weekend, there's no better spot than Twin Peaks because it's eats, drinks, and scenic views. We always tell you that. But now their menu has just gotten better with Smoker Selects. It features smoked meats cooked low and slow over hickory wood, like sweet and smoky ribs, Carolina pulled pork sandwich, and other items on the made-from-scratch menu. We all know that the draft beers are 29 degrees at all times. So cold beer, smoky good food, and, of course, the scenic views, because your waitresses are going to be the beautiful Twin Peaks girls, and the screens are all over the restaurant, so you can watch the Astros, you can watch the NBA playoffs, and of course you can watch the NFL draft. It's the one-stop shop for everything for a sportsman to eat, drink, and enjoy sporting events on television. Check them out at one of the six locations in Houston, and remember, it's always there at Twin Peaks. It's eats, it's drinks, it's scenic views.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects. We always like to give back to you guys, The Usual Suspects, and we want to give you a heads up because there are some good tickets going on sale Friday at 10 a.m. It is Black Hats, Two Guitars, Two Icons. Country music stars Clint Black and Trace Adkins and special guests are coming to Houston this summer at Smart Financial Center. Pre-sale tickets are going on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. I believe the concert's in August, but they'll give you all the details. You can either go to livenation.com to get all the information that you need, but you need to mark your calendars because they're going on sale Friday at 10 a.m., so make sure you get to the best place possible to place your orders. It's going to be the Black Hats, Two Guitars, Two Icons tour. It is country music stars Clint Black, Trace Adkins, Friday, 10 a.m., tickets on sale. All right, so good to be fibbers sometimes when you lie and in the process you get Lance Zierlein from them. We just
absolutely didn't lie at all.
We told people that we weren't going to be all draft-centric.
Well, we said that we weren't going to sit there and mill about in every minute detail because no one cares about that. All they care about is the Texans at a high level, and that's exactly what Lance gave us. I don't think we're not doing a 2 hours, right. 3 hours of draft talk. We got what did we say too? We said no one wants to hear from us necessarily. They want to hear from an expert. And Nick, being the badass producer that he is, was like, I'm on it. Got Lance. You got the expert. By the way, the Huddle Report has him ranked fifth for last year.
That's nice.
So he was somewhere between 5 and 13.
He
so
may
you
be
just
a general
got
manager this year.
Expert opinion and analysis in one, well, not even a full segment, but I don't think we lied at all.
Yeah,
he could be
a general manager this year. He moved up to five.
Maybe he could.
All right. So with that being said, hey, you guys were at the Rockets game last night. I watched the whole thing. So break it down for me from your standpoint of what you saw and what stood out.
Well, I think defensively this team is clicking. I think anytime you can hold any playoff team to under 100 points, you're doing well. But I think that they've shown some issues in the offensively, even though they faced a really good defensive team in the Jazz as well. But another ugly game overall that their defense won for them. So that's something to hang your hat on. And all the guys are complimentary of that, of their defense. Harden mentioned it. D'Antoni mentioned it. Paul and Capella in the post game. Everybody was like, yeah, we're going to live and die with our defense.
Yeah, and look, they've been giving Eric Gordon all types of credit for his defense. Yeah. He's been working really hard on that. I think James Harden, that big strip in the fourth quarter when he had five fouls, that was huge, a risk, but he took it. He still was aggressive on defense. And it's nice to see Clint Capella look like he's energized and not as sick as he has been. So those are probably like my off-the-top takeaways from the game.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it and I say, to your point, Barry, yeah, the defense was good, but you were playing against a team that is awful shooting the basketball, and they looked like the most unorganized offensive team in the world. I mean, it just seemed like everything was a crapshoot every time that they ran an offensive set, and Rubio's making off-balance leaners in the lane, and then he airballs a three, and Donovan Mitchell, for as confident as he felt after getting the win in Utah, looked like just completely out of sorts. But I do like what they bring to the table defensively in terms of adding pieces that can play multiple positions. And you mentioned the Harden strip, Nick, but you look at it, you say, yeah, Eric Gordon got one, PJ Tucker got one, and Harden got one. And Harden was a big one because he, like you said, five fouls.
Game winner.
Yeah, that was that was huge.
And I will say this, though. If you're going to give credit to Utah for making the Rockets' offense look a bit disheveled and not like it normally does, then let's go ahead and give the Rockets credit for making the Jazz offense look the same way.
And that's fine. And again, I made fun of it again last night because it was so frustrating to watch them consistently stay to that Ricky Rubio getting on James's butt pocket and just letting him have 15 feet of space, especially when they needed to stop. And the one thing that, you know, whether D'Antoni and Capella were the ones that were outspoken saying, you know, you wanted to run it back, you're going to run it back. And then the Warriors just tripped all over themselves.
Yeah, that was funny. Those were some quotes at the press conference tweeted out. Somebody asked Mike D'Antoni about the Warriors series. He goes, let's just wait. Let's just wait. And they were like, well, it's a foregone conclusion that they're going to win. He goes, let's just wait. And they were like, yeah, Mike, but everybody wants the answer. And he said, well, we said all year we wanted to run it back, so I guess we're going to find out now.
That was so funny.
It was hilarious. And then, like you said, all that happens, and there was a lot of Warriors talk after the game in the post-game press conference, and then they go out and lay an egg in Golden State.
I love
LA.
That Capella was like, no, we want him. Yeah, we want. And then Chris Paul was like, well, you're going to be on the front page of Bleacher Report? You probably shouldn't have done that.
I couldn't wait. I'll try to be the first one to tweet that out because I'm literally typing as he said it. It was so funny.
Yeah.
It was like, bro. And then because Chris Paul's just like, you should not have said that. You should not have said you want, because they asked him straight up, are you looking forward to the Warriors matchup? But Capella didn't shy away. But he's never been that guy, though. Capella doesn't.
No.
He tells you what he feels. He goes, yeah, I want them. And Chris Paul shook his head and goes, you're going to be on the front page of Bleacher Report. And I guess there was a guy from Bleacher Report in the media room. And Chris Paul looks at him and goes, you're tweeting it right now, aren't you? You just can't wait to tweet that, can you? And the guy started laughing. So it was a funny moment. But, yeah, careful what you wish for there.
Don't forget, because Clint was the one after they lost to Golden State in Game 7 last year that said, we're a better team than they are. We should have beat them. So he's never shied away from it. And obviously he and Kevin Durant have even had a little back and forth because of it. But the fact of the matter is, I think everybody kind of walked away from the Rockets game last night. Like you said, foregone conclusion, they're going to play the Warriors. And now, you know, To the benefit of the Rockets, the Warriors have to play at least one more game.
And travel again.
Yeah.
They got to go on the road.
It's not, obviously, it's still in California, so it's not that far for them.
Still,
but
you
got
to pack. You got to get all your stuff together. You got to hop on a plane. You got to sit on that plane. You got to unpack. You got to go through all that stuff. You got to travel again. That sucks. No one wants to do that. They could have finished it right then and there, stayed in their beds, and the Rockets would have flown to them when it was time. That doesn't happen now. So you like that. I mean, they're professionals. It's not going to be that big of a deal. It's just more of an inconvenience and an irritant. And you never, it's just like I said with the Rockets. If they were to have lost last night, now that pucker factor for the Warriors is like the first one we called a fluke and, oh, we just had to wake up and flip the switch. And I heard Shaq say last night after the game, sometimes teams know they need to flip the switch, but when they do, nothing happens. And he's like, that's what looks like it's happening with this Warriors team. And I think even Shaq said, I saw some stuff tonight that really changed my mind about this series and the Warriors and the Clippers and everybody else. So I'll stand by what I said earlier in the year. This is a Warriors team that is vulnerable. Do I think they're going to lose to the number 8 seed Clippers? No. But I think they better bring their A game against the Rockets. The Rockets are playing defense. The Rockets won't be defended the same way that the Jazz did. The Warriors just aren't as good defensively as the Jazz are. They're not as long. They're not going to cause as many problems in the paint that James Harden had. It's going to be a different series, and it's going to be interesting. They better take care of their business. That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that you can look at and say is that this team, having been to, what, 5 consecutive finals, that – more and more, they're grasping at straws to find motivation. And I think that last night was one of the classics where they just decided, we're at home, we're going to win the series. It's, you know, we're just going to dust them. And the Clippers, were oblivious to all of that and came through and played their A game and did what they want, they thought they could do.
And don't, I mean, I think, and I'm not suggesting you do, but I think people would tend to do a disservice and an injustice to the Clippers by saying, "Ah, well, the Warriors were just like, ah, whatever, we got this," and tried to cakewalk. No, they didn't. If you recall, they had to make a comeback and get within a point in the fourth quarter, only to have Lou Williams take over and be like, "Nah, I'm going to put this team on my back and nobody can stop me." They got some big stops down the stretch and that was the ball game. So credit the Clippers for, they didn't just, the Warriors didn't give them that game. No. The Warriors tried to win that game. The Clippers just beat them.
Right.
I mean, period. They went up there and beat them.
And what I'm getting at too is, home court advantage doesn't seem to be that big of a deal this year because the Warriors play worse at home than they do on the road. They go on the road and they blast the Clippers twice in L.A., but they play in their home building. And it goes back to, remember what Clay was saying late in the season, too, about our fans suck and they're booing.
Oh, that's a good point.
And it's like, you know why? Because now you got games that everybody's – it's kind of like with the Rockets where you're assuming that they're going to win from a fan perspective, but at least from a player perspective, they handle their business. And you're happy to make adjustments and say where you can do better – when you've won a series. But when you're doing it on the fly and you're kind of just going through the motions until you get motivated, you can get caught with your pants down. And now they find themselves in, you know, not just a firestorm yet, but playing an extra game, like you mentioned, with a lot more extra details dealing with a team they didn't think they were going to have to deal with.
I'd be curious to see what their records were in round one as a one seed or a two seed against a lower seed at home. Have they ever had this happen? I mean, have they ever been 3-2 to
the
first round?
I don't think they've had to go six.
And losing at home in the playoffs? That would be an interesting thing to kind of tell you where this team is at compared to the Warriors teams of the past.
Yeah, I don't think.
I'll look it up. I think they're extremely vulnerable,
and I think the Rockets should be licking their chops to say, hey, doesn't matter when we get them, but we're getting them at the best possible opportunity. So hopefully that comes through. We can talk more about the Rockets as we continue to roll. But, yeah, interesting in the fact that Rockets took care of business, Warriors didn't, and now we've got a Game 6 in that series.
Yeah, hey, guys, check this out. I've been using this app called Get Upside. I want you guys to check it out. It's totally free to download. And it's great because it just gives you cash back. I say just. That's all it is designed to do is give you cash back. So there's no reason not to download it. There's no catch. There's no gimmick here. You download the app. You put it on your phone completely free. Put in promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. And when you go and fill up at the gas station or when you go eat out at restaurants that are in the app, you get cash back for those purchases because they do it because these businesses want your business. These gas stations and restaurants, they want you to come to them instead of going to their competitors. So they offer you these cash back deals through the Get Upside app. It's like free money and like 20 up to 25 cents a gallon at over 500 gas stations around the city of Houston. That's an insane amount of money back per gallon if you're filling up, if you could get up to 25 cents a gallon. And when you use promo code Barry, you're going to get more on your first fill up. My wife ended up getting 30 cents a gallon cash back on her first fill up through the Get Upside app because she used my promo code Barry. So make sure you do that. Take advantage of it. Do like Clarence. Clarence just went out and had lunch a couple of days. I think he ate Popeyes and Wendy's back to back and ended up getting $5 cash in his pocket after 2 days of using the app. People are getting $250, $200, $100. Listeners are telling me what they're getting, and it's outstanding. And if you've got a company vehicle that you fill up all the time, download Get Upside and use it. All you got to do is buy with a debit or credit card, upload your receipt. Boom, you get cash back in 24 hours. Guys, it's super easy. Get up to 35% cash back on your meals, up to 25 cents a gallon when you fill up. Do not leave money at the pump. Do not leave money at the table. Download Get Upside, put in promo code Barry, get that cash back, and thank me later.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through hour number one of the three-hour show. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel. It is a Thursday on the Usual Suspects. You have already missed, if you're just tuning in, Lance Zierlein from the draft in Nashville with some great insight on the Texans and all you need to know on the draft. So we're about done there.
It's Thursday.
And not tomorrow.
Okay.
And we were starting to talk some Rockets. Got into a little bit of that.
Yep. I have your Golden State Warriors first round matchups over the last 6 years.
All right.
Not including this year, if you care to know how they've done. So let's, you want me to go in reverse order starting last year and going backwards, or starting the first year of this playoff run and going forward?
Whatever floats your boat.
All right, let's go backwards. So last year, 2017-2018 against the Spurs, they won that series 4-1 in the opening round.
Okay.
Beat the Pelicans 4-1 in that round. And, of course, the Rockets 4-3 and then swept the Cavs. 2016-2017, swept the Blazers. Mm-hmm. 2015-2016, went 4-1 against the Rockets. Lost one game on the road. 2013-2014, got beat by the Clippers in the first round. Mm. And then the year before that, the Nuggets, they went 4-2 against the Nuggets and then got bounced by the Spurs in the conference semifinals. So there's twice that they've lost more than one game, and it was, you had to go all the way back to the 2013-2014 season the last time that it's happened.
Hmm.
So there was a 4-year run where they either didn't lose any games in the first round or just won. So this is a Warriors team. Over the last, if you include this year as the last 5 years, this is the most games they've lost in the first round in 5 years.
And again, you know,
and supposedly is their best team.
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't know how you can say that with Boogie Cousins being. I could see you saying from a talent perspective on that roster, if Boogie Cousins was healthy, starting five All-Stars, which is unheard of in the NBA, you could say that's your best team in terms of like their resume. But it's how you play on the court, mm-hmm. and I think that, like I said, you know, when you look at a team that's had this much success, that went to this many finals, you know, is looking for their third straight championship. It's a slippery slope because you can say, well, we're just, you know, we're fine. And, you know, we're going to take care of it. Like Clay said, we're going to go out and we're just going to take care of business and we're going to win by 30 and it's fine. Well, it's all easy to say, but a lot more difficult to do. And we found that out last night. And complacency or whatever you want to label it, they got some work to do. And it's good for the Rockets, who can sit back and get healthy and kind of, you know, practice and talk about and go through film about what they did wrong in a series that they won, while the Warriors still have to fix things on the run while they're still trying to get through the Clippers.
Yeah, somebody texted and said, Rockets barely hit 100 to 110 against the Jazz. The Warriors score 120 on average. How can we score more to keep up? That's apparently on Chris. Well, a couple things, Chris. One, the Jazz are a much better defensive team than the Warriors are. The best defensive team in basketball.
I'm not going to say a lot better. If the Warriors are motivated, they're a really good defensive team. But you're right. I mean, because of what you mentioned earlier, the two post players that Golden State doesn't have with Gobert and Favors.
Not only that, but when you look at their matchups, they're pretty much even offensively whenever they play. I mean, there was the one lopsided win early on or loss that the Warriors had early on, 107-86. But I wouldn't count that. That was a weird time of the season. If you look at more recently, the Rockets beat them 135-134 in overtime. And then there was 118-112 that the Rockets beat them. And then they finally got the Rockets 106-104. These scores are similar. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't mean that you necessarily have to go out and put up 120. The last time they met, which was March 13th, it was 106-104. So it's going to depend, too, on your defense. The Rockets are one of the few teams in the league that can hang with the Warriors offensively and defensively.
And here's the other thing. It's hard to even go back and use that for much of a comparison, because when you think about it, the big blowout win for the Rockets, Harden didn't play. Capella didn't play in two of the three games. And then when he did play, Boogie Cousins was a huge factor in game four, and now he won't play.
Yeah.
So you've always had at least one guy that was out in the games that they played during the regular season. You just have to deal with the unit that's going to be on the floor now and realize, look, when Eric Gordon gets off to a hot start, when Eric Gordon's making shots, they're a totally different team. When Clint Capella is healthy, and especially with Boogie Cousins out now, he should have an advantage, sizable, yes, but just an overall advantage over whoever Golden State decides to play. Whether they go small, Draymond Green's going to have problems on the boards and otherwise. if they try and put Bogut out there, he's going to run right past him, and they're going to get out on the break.
What I like is the fact that the Rockets have, you know, Capella, and that's an, I think that's advantage for them. And then the additions of Farid, and now you see Nene be effective in the playoffs, and he should have a couple of days to rest and be available. I like their big men matchups, even though I know Durant, but Durant's going to more spread the floor and play the wing. But down low, in the paint, in the key,
yeah.
I like the Rockets' advantages that they have there.
Don't sleep on the fact, too, that when you mentioned what you just mentioned, too, about the series the Clippers, I mean, the Warriors have played in the past,
mm-hmm.
Austin Rivers was a part of some of those series. So Austin mm-hmm. Rivers knows a lot about the Warriors. Coming to the Rockets, as much as he's been a fit in the regular season, his playoff experience and experience against the Warriors can help him when he does play minutes against the staff and the guards for the Warriors.
That's a good point.
So, all right, one of the books. Still 2 hours to go with the show. We got plenty more to get to. If you want to join us, something on your mind you want to get off your chest, 713-780-3776. HRP Listener Line, or hit us up on Twitter. Usual Suspects. Hour number two right around the corner on ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.